forth that Sonoro has to tell us.
Slummer?
Yep, let's see what's showing. So this is a very nice idea. Right, it was in those days, and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he passed away. And in Israel, they sighed from the hard work, from the hardship. And then they cried out. Vital shav osam, and their cry rose up. El Elokim min ha'avoda, up to God from the hard work that they were doing. And God heard their crying out. Notice there are four, and the Shlomo will point out, there are four lashonos. There are four different expressions of this sighing, this crying out. We've had vayanchu, vayizaku, shav asam, and then we've had naakasam. Vayizka lakim is brisoi, and then God remembered his covenant, his promise. Vayede lakim, and God knew. So this is Parshas Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Maybe we should keep the door open.
שם יברך אותך, יש פה אדם צדיק שזקוק לעזרה, מה שאתם יכולים לתרום, בנים שלו מתחתנים, תסמכו אותו, בגשם הסתובבתי איתו באמת ברקע, בעין יפה.
תמדי אין עליי כלום כרגע, ממש לא.
אני פנט שלכם פרנסה טובה לבריאות.
אמן. So it says. So it says. The parsha Yitzchias Mitzrayim nisyach rechel gadol b'Torah. The story of Yitzchias Mitzrayim, it's not a small thing in the Torah. It's like a whole bunch of parshas. Lechol inyan galus Mitzrayim v'eschalta de geula, and the whole story of the galus and the geula that follows. Vagula mimitzrayim. So why is that? So we said a few times already that the Tzvanim Rebbe and all the Sfarim teach us that the Torah is not a book of stories. The Torah's purpose in telling us stories is not to entertain us. It's also not a history book. It's not a chronicle that's supposed to tell us things that were in the past, so we should have historical documentation of past events. So what is the reason? Hatorek Daisha Labal Sapis Sipurim Ba'alma, Mashahaya Ba'over. The Torah's purpose is to teach us a way of life, a path, and to guide us. So what's the purpose? What is the Torah coming to tell us about this whole story of the Galus in Mitzrayim and the Geula? So this is a very important thing. You should know, he says, the concept of Galus, of exile among the Jewish people, is not a mikra, it's not a happenstance. It's not just an accident of some kind. Ella, rather, hu chelek bilti nifrad me'etzem hevyuso shel Am Yisrael. It is an integral part of the creation of the nation of Am Yisrael. For there to be an Am Yisrael, there has to be galus. To form Am Yisrael, to forge them and create them as who they're supposed to be and what their unique mission is, there has to be a constant galus that Am Yisrael had to undergo that and be forged and created into a nation. Because otherwise you have a big problem, because most of the history of Am Yisrael as a nation is spent in exile. Most of our history as Am Yisrael is a period where we're not in Eretz Yisrael, is a period that we're not part of a nation classically as we're supposed to be on our land doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are in exile, we're in the diaspora. So you look at history and you see that Am Yisrael has been living a life of galus for a quite long time. And that's no accident. Mishum shezecherek me'atzmo shel Am Yisrael, says the Nesiv HaShalom, says the Rebbe, it's an integral part of what it means to be a Jewish nation, is that you had to undergo this galus. Heim bechlal, speaking generally about all of Am Yisrael as a group, v'hein lechol prat uprat shechayu ritzufim gluyus v'chashuchis. And we have to say also that every Jew in his life, as we've spoken about before, has dark points in his life, low points in his life. Each and every one of us experiences in our lives a constant galus, where we are not performing on the optimal level. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, either through some fault of our own or through the circumstances of our lives. And so just as Am Yisrael, as a nation, as a whole, has been in Galus for a certain amount of time, and that's what forged and created Am Yisrael into who that they are, and who they're supposed to be, and given their unique mission among the nations, so too each individual person, each individual Jew has in him periods of life where he is in a state of Galus, of exile, and also just as Am Yisrael has a Geula, so too do each one of us have a Geula. Ad a Geula HaShlema She'az Oyechada Shel Tzion Toir. Therefore, he says, the reason that we spend so much time in Chumash, we have a Chumash Shos that deals almost completely with the concept of Mitzrayim, is because it's an integral lesson that we have in these parshas to learn about the concept of Galus and what it can do to us and teach us and bring us to, and Geula and what that is supposed to bring and give light. We call Yisrael as dark of Machshik HaGalus to come and enlighten and bring light into the concept of Galus that we have. So we said it was in those times when Pharaoh died and Bnei Yisrael called out. He says that's the whole pasuk, that is the secret, that is the whole secret. And that's the awakening from below. We've spoken about this concept before. There's two types of awakening. When we want to come to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's what's called Isarusa Dil Tata, an awakening from below, where we are the first ones to initiate an awakening, whether it's through doing tshuva or davening or learning or doing something to strengthen ourselves and come closer. And there's another concept called Isarusa Dil Eila, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's awakening us and bringing us closer. And then God saw and God knew. Those 210 years, ad ata, until the point where it says Bnei Yisrael called out, those 210 years, until the time of the Geula, shlohigius man pekida me'agolus, until that time to redeem that had not yet come, the dying, lo ne'enachu Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those 210 years, there was not a sigh that escaped their lips. The sigh was what awakened. That was that little Yisarusa Dilatat, that was a little awakening from below, that sigh, which caused the Geula to come. So for those 210 years, there was no sigh. They didn't cry out. They were in such a deep, dark place that even a sigh they couldn't give. Like a person who's so lost, they feel like they have no hope. There are points in a person's life when he feels so lost, when it's going so bad, chas v'shalom, for him, that he feels like there's pashut no hope. And when a person is in such a bad matzav, where he feels like there's almost no hope, so he doesn't even cry out. He's sort of struck dumb. V'zehi hasi shegalus Mitzrayim. That is the peak, you know, the opposite of the peak. The peak is the high point. It's the trough, I guess. The lowest point possible of the Galus of Mitzrayim. Like it says in the Zohar Kaddish, Shebe Mitzrayim haya hadibur begalus. On a deep level, the whole concept of the Haggadah, which means to speak, is the whole concept of redemption of what's called Geulas Hadibur. It's brought in the Arizal at length. The Chabad Sfarim talk about it. The Rabbi Nachum Breslov Sfarim talk about it. And it's found in all the Sfarim HaKadoshim, based on the Zohar originally, that the secret of Galus Mitzrayim is the secret of Galus Hadibur. There is a concept of the exile of speech. As it's explained, the pasuk says, Sagar aleihem hamidbar, the desert closed down upon them. Midbar is lashon medaber. The power of speech was closed to them. So our level, based on what we're talking about now, it means that they didn't have the power to open their mouth, not even to sigh, not even to call out. Shekoyach hadibur haya sagur etzlam. They were stuck in such a matzav in Mitzrayim that they did not have the ability to daven, to pray, to ask, to call out to Hashem. They were in that matzah that we just spoke about before, when a person feels nebuch so low that he feels he can't even daven. Sometimes people are so down, so depressed, they feel like, I can't even daven for what I need. I can't even ask Hashem to get me out of this point. Therefore, they were in such a place where speech was so closed, where they were so constricted and they couldn't even daven, that when finally they reached a point where they were at least to sigh, That was the beginning of redemption. Because before that, like I said, nothing could escape their lips at all. They didn't have the power to even open up their mouth and say a thing. Right, davening, they still couldn't do. They still couldn't pray. So the power of anacha, of a sigh, is something called koil b'li dibur. It's the sound of a voice without speech. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that there's two types of davening. There's two types of calling out to Hashem. There's what's called koil pashut, what's called a simple sound. A sound that has no words. A sound that has no words has an advantage. It's the most primal, most elementary type of sound. It's like a cry, a scream, a sigh. It has no words to it, and therefore it's emotionally able to contain a lot of things. Because once you take an idea and you clothe it in speech, and you take the concept you had in your mind and you put it into letters and into words, you are confining it. You take an idea, a general idea that you have, and then you take it and you take it and take a word and put that word to that idea. You've now taken that idea that was a general thing, and you've confined it to that specific word, to that specific speech, to that specific definition. So too is with davening. There's a level of davening that's high, that's known as koil pashut, a simple sound that has no letters, that has no defining words, that doesn't constrict it or confine it to being one specific request. Therefore, the power of shofar on Rosh Hashanah is so high. We spoke about that during, I think, during Achanah to Rosh Hashanah. But the power of shofar is so high because shofar is a koil pashut. Shofar is a form of davening that comes from deep inside, where we cry out without even using words. There are no words in the shofar. We're not asking for a specific request. We're asking for all the requests at once. That's a powerful idea. Says Baal HaTanya, that's the koyach of nigun. That's why Hasidim are very into nigunim, a nigun without any words. Because the power of negina, of a nigun that has no words, is above the words. If you would take it and put it into words, so again, you're confining, you're constricting, you mean just this, just that, just the other thing, whatever I'm saying, and nothing else. But if you can go back up higher to a level where there are no words, so that's the power of nigun, which is higher than words. So now we have the concept of koil pnimi coming from the deepest place. As we explained, it's koil beloy dibur. It's the power of davening without words, which is a higher level. Shekola Dalad Rashenis, all the four languages, all the four terms for calling out that we described in the beginning, Elu Anacha, Zaka, Shava, V'Na'aka, Hinam Koil B'Loi Dibur. Every single one of these is a representation of calling out with a voice that has no spoken words at all. And they're coming from the deepest place. When a person calls out, when a person sighs, when a person cries out, it's coming from the deepest place within him. It's coming from that emotional part of him that doesn't have words, where he's not even able to express it in words. And that's the deepest place. Bitur shel nishmas ha-yehudi she-nichsefa ve-gam kalsa nafshoy al Mitzukas HaGalus. And when a person is found in that deep gullus, whether it's that personal gullus that he's experiencing, that dark, low place, or whether it's the gullus of Am Yisrael that he's expressing, that cry, that sigh that escapes is coming from the innermost place, and therefore it encompasses and goes above all the possible words that would define it. Shekol sevel gufani hu ke'en v'cha'efes neged ha-ke'ev ha-pnimi shel Yehudi sh'nisrachek me'aviv v'shvashamayim. Because there's nothing that compares to the pain of a Jewish soul that's been cut off from her father in heaven. And when a Jewish soul feels that cut, that distance from Hashem, from Avinu Shebashamai, then the Jewish soul calls out in a way, in a pain that's a different type, a higher type of pain, a deeper pain, that's more painful than any physical ailment and any physical suffering that could ever be. Shezeu Iker B'chinas Galus, and that is Be'etzem what Galus is. The most difficult kinds of exile is not the physical exile from physically being on a land. Of course, obviously that's terrible. Am Yisrael is supposed to be here in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question. But the sevel, the suffering and the pain wasn't just because of a physical separation from the land. Well, you can't serve God in any other land. It's the separation from God's Shechina, from God's presence that is revealed in Eretz Yisrael. She'en Hashem Lekech Abba, Mereshan Reach Rishana. The place that God is felt the most and closest to us is here. And therefore, leaving this physical place is not just a separation from a agricultural reality, or leaving Eretz Yisrael, which is a geographic difference, and therefore we have to live in exile among other people who speak different languages, have different customs and different types of food and different types of political systems. It's not just that, although all those things are terrible for a person. When a person is sent away from their home, from everything they've ever been accustomed to and used to, that's also painful. But the pain and suffering of a child when he or she is sent away from her father, that is the suffering of Am Yisrael leaving Eretz Yisrael. That is the suffering of Galus, deep down inside, knowing that somehow you've been distanced from your father. That's the Iker Galus. Oylahem Rabbanim, Shigalum al Shulchan Aviyim. Woe is to the children who have left their father's table. Yisrael being their father's table, obviously, symbolically, and us being the children. And the minute that we left God's table, the minute that we were exiled and sent out of Eretz Yisrael, so we reached a new physical reality that brought us to a new spiritual reality, which was we were cut off from that revelation of Hashem that we had by Beis HaMikdash, that we had by the Shekhinah, that we had by Ruach HaKodesh, that we had by Nevuah, that we had by all the milos that Eretz Yisrael had, and we lost. Was basically like putting up a barrier, putting up a mechitza, putting up a separation between us and our father. And that is the pain. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that their shav'ah, their cry went out from the avodah, from the avodah Hashem. That they cried out, they were pained about their lack of avodah, about their no longer being able to serve Hashem as they used to in the past, and their distance from Hashem. As soon as they now began to say these four different expressions of sighing, of crying out, of distress, the minute that they started sighing out and crying out to Hashem, and then it says, God saw, and God knew. What is Vayeda? What is Vayeda adding? If it says, God saw. If he saw, he obviously knew. So Vayeda, we know on a deeper level, the word Das is from the concept of Yeda Ha'adam Ischava Ishtoi. Das means connection. Like the connection between husband and wife. Bechinas Vayeda Ha'adam Ischava Ishtoi. Ki Lamala Kvar Asta Ha'anacha Estoichena Ge'ura. Ki Shum Nisdabek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elehem. That reattachment, that reconnection, that Dveikus, that's what it means Vayeda Elohim. That the minute God saw them crying out to him, he realized that they still want that relationship. It's important to them. And he reattached and reconnected himself. And once we were reconnected, that was the beginning of the Geula to let us come out of that place. So, Vainu ki lamala kvar asta anocha estoich na Geula, rak lamata oid huschal kush yashirbu, v'adayin hayu tzrichim lishtal shulis ha-Geula b'emshech ha... like it says in the Pasuk, u'moisha haya roya. So in... Right, Moshe became the shepherd, and then he went afterwards, and he became their redeemer. So even though their sigh reached a spiritual level, they reconnected to Hashem. Still, down here in this world, they had to achieve the actual physical geula, and through Moshe, they had to leave. We said that the sigh, the original first sigh that escaped their lips, because Mitzrayim was symbolic of Galus Hadibur. Mitzrayim was the symbol of not being able to cry out, not being able to daven, not being able to speak, not being able to express in words our sorrow and our pain from being distanced from Hashem. Therefore, the beginning of the Geula was the moment the first sigh was able to escape their lips. Hashem helped them, he opened their mouth so they could at least sigh, so they could at least say something and begin. And this opened up the gates of redemption. So we said, there are four terms in the Pasuk we said about crying out and sighing to Hashem. Four of them. And I heard they're calling out, they're shouting to me. So there's also another Lashon, Tzaka. So now we have five Lashonos. So that corresponds, like we said, the whole concept of the Haggadah, and now there's the four and the five cups, and the five, four and five Lashonos of Geula. Kisavo v'nitzak el Hashem, elokei avosenu, v'yishma Hashem eskolenu. Keneged chamisha chelke ha-neshama, they also correspond to the five levels of the neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yichida. As it says already in the Midrash Rabba and Bereishis, the neshama has five parts. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yichida. Nefesh, the lowest part of the soul, which is the life force that even animals have, ruach, the spirit, which resides on a higher level. It says that the nefesh resides in the blood, like in the liver, because the liver is the seat of where most of our blood is found. The ruach resides in the heart. The neshama resides in the part of the man known as the brain. And then there's chay nichid, chaya encircles a man's life force, like a light that encircles us. And yichida is that part that's constantly attached up to shemayim, that's never completely severed, connecting us. That's on the simplest explanation. Shekol chelke haneshama ne'nachu lefanav yisbarach. And all the five, just like there are five lashonos, just like there are five different terms expressing the pain and the sighing and the calling out and the shouting and the screaming to Hashem, each one of those expresses and corresponds to one of the five parts of the neshama, which we're all calling out to Hashem to be redeemed. Ki agalus lahaisa rak ala gufim, because you shouldn't think the exile was only physical, that they were only physically exiled. Ela nag'a ad madregas hagvohos b'yoser. Rather, it touched even the highest place. Shekol chelke haneshama hayu mishukoyim b'memtes shari tumah. That even their souls were, as we know in this farm, it says, they were down, sunk deep into the 49 levels of impurity. And if they had not been redeemed at that moment, they would have chashom reached the 50th level and would not have been able to redeem. That's what the Arizal says. That's why it says in Pasuk that Hashem heard us cry out. Hainu, what's kolenu? What we said before, a koil pashut b'li dibur. God heard our voice, that simple voice, that voice that's not confined to words, to speech, that voice that transcends speech, that's above it, like a nigun, like the call of the shofar. Shekai al kol ha'ar chamisha l'shona shalanacha, shemanacha below dibur. And that's why the power of sighing, calling out, is so strong. It could encompass all five l'shonos, because like I said, it's not letters, it's not dibur, it's not confined to one. It can encompass all five at the same time. V'dal l'shonos elu k'neged dal adolam esabiyah. And in Sfar HaKadoshim it says there's four different spiritual levels: Atzilus, Bria, Yetzir, Asiya, the four levels in the four worlds in spirituality that exist: the world of the angels, and the world of the seat of the chariot, and the world of Asiya, where we are. All the different levels that there are in Shemayim. It also corresponds to the four letters of Hashem's name: Yudke, Vavke. The Lashon Nitzak, the fifth Lashon, corresponds to the Kotzel Shel Yud. As it says in the Sfarim, that the Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name is four letters, but the crown on the letter Yud represents a higher connection, and therefore the last one calling out represents the Koitzel Shul Yud. The Cheneged Zeh, Ksuvim Bagula, we said also the Gula has four Lashonos. Hotzeisi, Haitzalti, Ga'alti, Lakachti, and that's why Chazal were Metakim Dalet Koitzes, four cups of wine on Chag HaPesach, on the time that we're reciting the Haggadah. And then afterwards, there was a Lashon of Hivesi. That's the fifth Lashon of the final Geula, which is Mitzvah will be Zoyche. And that's why we have a fifth cup for Eliyahu HaNavi, and that's why we don't drink it. And Mitzvah one day will be Zoyche to drink that cup. It's not because, like someone told you, Eliyahu HaNavi is drinking it, and you know, all the kids look around to see, did he drink a little bit? It's Eliyahu HaNavi's cup, because when Eliyahu HaNavi comes with Mashiach, that's when we'll realize that cup. Shem Gamkin Kineged Chamishu Bechinos HaNeshama Uchumo She'anu Maskirim Be'agada Lefikach Anachnu Chayavim Lahoydos. That's why we begin to say on the Agada, this is why we have to now thank Hashem and praise Him. Because Otzienu Mi'abdus L'cheris, He took us out from slavery into freedom, Mi'agam L'simcha, from sadness into happiness, Me'evel Yomtev, from a state of Chas Shalom, of Avelus, of mourning into Yomtev, into a holiday, from a darkness to a great light, and from total subjugation to total redemption. And these are the five concepts of Geula, going from each one of these stages to the stage of positive freedom. And this is an important thing that you have to realize. This is, don't think that the level of suffering of Am Yisrael and Galus and Mitzrayim was equal. They were all in Galus together, like equal somehow. No, this is each person experienced Galus on their level. Just as we said, Am Yisrael goes through Galus as a nation, and each person goes through Galus personally. So too, Am Yisrael back then experienced Galus differently. Each individual expressed it and explained it and felt it differently. Harov Avdu Avodas Parach V'Tzias Mitzrayim Shama. I saw Poshi Tzim Avdus L'Cheres. For the majority of the Jews, they were slaves. Pshuto kemashmo. Day and night they labored, enslaved, working. And when they were redeemed, they were free. Just like slaves become free. And then there was a different group, like Shevet Levi, it says about them, that even though they were slaves, they were a slave nation, still they weren't conscripted to do the same type of hard work as the others. What do you think, that they weren't suffering just because they weren't doing back-breaking labor? Their Constantine Mitzrayim is one of the other Lashonis of Gula. Miyogan L'simcha, from the pain of being an exiled nation, of being second class, of being second rate, of being, you know, a different type of strata in society, to a constant happiness. Now we're on top. Some people were suffering, it was so bad for them that they were like total like a velus, so they were like suffering as if they were in mourning, and when they were redeemed it was like a yanta for them. Some people was like mafela, they were in darkness, they lived in depression, and then when it came out it was like a great light, like their eyes were open for the first time. And some of them lived mishibud, like they felt like their whole self was totally subjugated, and when they came out they came to geula and they were free. And each one of them felt and expressed and, you know, went through a different type of galus. Kishon nehaisa galus Mitzrayim mishar hagalus. Bahayu meshubadim tachas haruach shel Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim's galus is different. You know, the Maral and all the other Baalei Machshava speak about the four galus, right? The galus of, what do you call it, Bavel, and then of Paras and Madai, and then of Yavan, and then of Edom that we're still in. So we're talking about galus. So where's Mitzrayim in this picture? It's like the fifth one. Where does it come in? It says Mitzrayim is different than all the other, what are called the four classic exiles, the four classic periods of subjugation. Mitzrayim is different. Mitzrayim is the catalyst that builds Am Yisrael into who they are. We said it's the integral galus that Am Yisrael has to go through to become a nation. It's part and parcel of integrally who they are as Am Yisrael. And therefore Mitzrayim is different, because in Mitzrayim, hayu mishuabadim tachas haruach shel Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they weren't just physically subjugated, they were subjugated to the ruach, to the spirit of what it means to be Egyptian. V'shar ha-galuyus lo-hayu b'v'chinas shi'abud u'mos shigalo etzlam, rak shehem hayu yoser chazakim ma'am Yisrael v'asu lahem tzaris. Since the difference was that other types of galus, it wasn't necessarily that we were so much subject to who they were in spirit, although I think in Galus of Yavan it was a bit more like that, but so much so that it's different, it was more about power and might. The other nations were just stronger, and their military prowess was able to overcome us and subjugate us. But in Mitzrayim, we were total slaves. We were in a total slave mentality, to the point where we had even almost no mind of our own. With Mitzrayim, hayu kamamer chazal, ki uber b'me'ei imoy. We were like a fetus in the womb, so to speak. We were being built and forged into Am Yisrael for the first time. And the concept of coming out of Mitzrayim is true freedom forever. It's the birth of Am Yisrael. Like the fetus in the womb is born. And therefore, being a fetus in the womb means that you're being formed at the time. Right? The fetus in the womb is being formed. It's not a complete entity. It can't be ready yet to be born. When the right time comes, after the 9 months, then the fetus is born. It's no longer a fetus, it's now a child. It's a viable living being. Am Yisrael is going through that stage. So we said that the beginning was that sigh. Then there was God's knowledge, God's reconnection to them. And just like a fetus in the womb is completely covered up and hidden, we were completely covered up and hidden from Hashem. We were cut off from Him. By reawakening ourselves from below and sighing and calling out, and that awakened the four Lashonos of Geula to redeem us and take us out. Similarly, regarding Purim, at the darkest point in that Galus, when Haman was gozer with Achashverosh together to annihilate and destroy every remnant, every type of Jew in the whole kingdom, what happened? When did the salvation come? When Mordechai went out into the street and called out and cried out in distress to Hashem, that was the turning point of the Geula. And the davening wasn't enough. It was the cry, that primal cry, like the shofar, that has no words. Like it says in Midrashim, that awakened the concept of Geula. It was signed and sealed with the king's ring. So how could it ever go back? Still, even though we know that the king refers to God, Malkos Shel Olam, Nimshecha Geula Ad Asher Nehapachu, until it was, the whole thing was turned around. V'zos Meramed Eslanu Torah Kedosh, Torah Chaim, Parsha Zu Benogea LeGalus HaKlal VeGalus HaPrat. Now the Torah is teaching us, like we said before, the Torah is not a history book, and it's not a book of chronicles, and it's not a book of stories. So the lesson that it's teaching us as a nation, and also as individuals, Kol inyan hagalus hu mash Yehudi margishu menutak l'gam Hashem Yisborach. You should know that whenever you feel cut off from Hashem, that is galus. Ve'ad she'enu misuga l'afil ha'otzi anav fanim Yisborach. And to the point where a person feels so down and so despondent and so without hope that he can't even open his mouth to sigh, as ikvar ischal to the geula, once he's able to sigh, then he's able to begin the geula. And then he opens up the gates. And David davened four bakashas in Tehillim. Ad on Hashem tishkecheni netzach. Number one. Ad on a taster is panecha mimeni. Ad on a eishis eitzois benafshi. Yogam belovavi. Ad on a yorim oivi ulai. David asked Ad on a four times. Till when? Till when? Till when will you forget me? Forever, chas v'shalom. Till when will you hide your face from me? Till when will I be able to even come up with etzis, with any type of advice? What should I do? How should I, free myself from this pain and suffering? Ad on yurim oivila, and until when will my enemies, control me, overcome me? She says, ikra agalus kasher nidbar Yehudi, when he's asking ad on, till when, Hashem, till when? Shtishkachin netzach, taster panecha meni. Hashem, what have you forgotten me, chas v'shalom? Why are you hiding your face from me? How come I can't experience you? Shemargishu rocha kokach menutok memkorach yusus boyer. When a person feels chasham like they've been cut off, like they've been distanced, like they've been sent away, but bekoichashi, the person has to remember that's the lesson, that it's in our power to overcome. Is gaber kol yusure haguf. Any suffering you have, avak shiachad imze yesh li yusure nefesh ruach neshama. But a person thinks all of a sudden that now he's suffering a non-physical ailment, a non-physical pain, a spiritual pain, a spiritual distance that's so deep. What is he going to do? And the answer is, he's got to at least begin by sighing. But Svar Mekdoshim, it says, there's a mashal brought down, a parable. The king's son, the prince, he was captured. And now he's hungry and he's in pain. Achkevo Ikar, what's the greatest pain that the prince is suffering? Eno me'arav v'asevel. It's not the physical suffering that he's in chains. It's not the pangs of hunger in his stomach. El amash nisrach imov ha'melech. But now that he's been taken away from his father, the king, that he's been captured and taken away from the palace. She yodea she'im haya riyad oviv ha'melech krum chaser beis ha'melech. I know that if I was in my father's house, I'd have food. And I'd have drink, and I would be dressed in royal garments, and I would be treated like a prince. And that's what's missing. It's not the fact that I'm chained. It's not the fact that I'm hungry. It's the fact that I'm not with my father. Because if I was with my father, everything else would be okay. Everything else would be taken care of. V'zu oimek anachosu shel ish yud. That's the depth of a Jewish sigh. Shehalacha bitui lekeev lev chazak. The sigh is coming from the greatest heart pain. The greatest pain that a Jew can feel in his heart. Nothing can express, no words can express the feeling of pain that a Jew feels when he's sent into Golus, when he's sent into exile, when he's sent out of the presence of his father. That then, when Hashem hears such a sigh, hears such a cry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado yedem, only God can know from such a sigh. Ki malachim usrafim ena mevinim rak dibur. The angels, they only stand words. They don't understand sighs. V'kach haisi tis mitzrayim lo yodem malach, v'lo yodem saraf, It says in the Haggadah that the Geula of Mitzrayim was only through God Himself. It wasn't through an angel, and not through a fiery seraph. It wasn't by anybody else. There was no messengers. There was no intermediaries. God Himself did it. Because even the angels couldn't understand the sign. Hashem, reveal yourself, come from that place. We ask for the Geula. We say every time we say the what's it called, the Kedusha on Shabbos, we don't say Hashem, bring Mashiach, and do, we don't go through the whole Geula process. We know it's a process. It has all these stages. We just say Hashem, we want you yourself to come and reveal yourself and come and redeem us, because we know that Hashem is able to do it all by Himself, and that's the schus of Emuna. It says in Chazal that there are certain things that were the schus of what we were redeemed. One of them is Emuna. One of the Midrashim says, "Bezchus Emuna nigalu avosenu Mitzrayim, bezchus Emuna asidu nigalu." With the merit of our Emuna in Hashem, we were redeemed, and that Emuna is what's going to redeem us in the future also. And that Emuna is in the power. The person has to believe. He has to have true Emuna and faith in the power of a Jewish sigh, in the power of a Jewish cry, in the power of a Jewish heart. It says a story about Ramat Lechnobler, that one time he was sitting by the Tish, and there was a Jew sitting at that Tish, and that Jew was known as a terrible sinner and transgressor. He had done all kinds of horrible things. And by sitting at the Rebbe's Tish, something touched him in that place that's still there in every Jew. And he sighed, and he sighed, a great big sigh escaped him. When Ramat Lechnobler heard that, he said, any Jew who doesn't believe that when another Jew sighs, that sigh doesn't come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives that sigh, no matter how megusha, no matter how low that person has sunk, if he sighs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives it and accepts it, and his tshuva is accepted. A Jew who doesn't believe that is not because. Because that's the fundamental emunah that we have, that no matter how deep and dark and difficult the exile is, as soon as we're able to call out from the depths, even without words, just to express the pain of being distanced and cut off from our Father, that is the beginning of the redemption. That tzchus of that emuna, shemitoichav ya'anchu bnei Yisrael, haisa ischaltas ha'geula. Vezeu inyan ha'arba shetzrichim lehoidos. There's a famous minig among chassidim, that it's printed on all the Siddurim in Nusach Sfard, that the way we begin the tefillah of Mincha on Erev Shabbos is by saying Hoidu, is by saying the capital of Tehillim of Hoidu. So it's in Tehillim Kuf Zayin. So why is it that we say capital Kuf Zayin on Erev Shabbos? Why is that found in Nusach Sfard? That capital Tehillim is the capital, is that the chapter of Tehillim that talks about the four that have to be Moidu, the four that are Chayav in saying Birkas Agoimo, because of the certain things that they've gone through. Why is it? Shemekor Yeshuasam Bal Yedea Zaaka Shepascha Lahem Shari Yeshua. If you read that chapter 107 of Tehillim, you will see that each one of those went through a certain type of suffering, a certain type of trial, a certain type of tribulation, some kind of difficulty, and in each one of them it says they screamed and they called that to Hashem and He redeemed them. That scream, that calling out, that Zaka, that cry, is what saved them. That was what caused their Yeshua to come. It says Tel Bamidbar, they got lost in the desert. Vayitzaku Hashem, and He saved them. Yoishechayish, some of those who sit in prison in chains. Vizaku Hashem, Batzalem, and Tzikusayim Yoshiyim. Avil Mederech Psham Yitzaku. Yor Dayam Banios, those who go down into the depths of the seas. You know, all these people call out and they're redeemed from death to life. Shekol elu matzavim miyuashi legamrei. All these levels are levels of no hope. Right? A person's lost in the desert. There should be no hope for him. How is he going to get out? There weren't cell phones. There was no GPS. You're lost in the desert. There's no way out. There's no water. There's no food. There's plenty of mirages. There's plenty of sand dunes and sandstorms. How are you going to get out of the desert? But v'izaku Hashem, they call it Hashem, and He saved them. A person's on the high seas. A tempest storm is tossing the ship. There's just nothing they can do. Even the best technology we have today can't save a person, chas v'shalom, if there's such a horrible storm. How many lives are lost, Nebuch, in traveling when a storm can hit? And nature is just stronger than we are. Tsunamis and hurricanes and earthquakes and all the horrible things that can happen, chas v'shalom, to a person. when nature, when when it's Hashem doing it, so v'izakor Hashem, and Hashem saved them. And when there's a decree and a person sitting languishing chas shalom in prison, and the verdict and the edict is that chas shalom has been, you know, he's been paskin that he's going to chas shalom die, what can save him? V'izakor Hashem. They called that to Hashem, and Hashem redeemed them. But they should have been at a point of no hope. They should have felt in the darkest place like there's no hope for them anymore. But even in that place, if you have the emunah that there is hope because of Hashem, that's what saves them. That itself, that emunah, clinging onto that faith and calling out and screaming out and sighing to Hashem, that itself is the beginning of the Yeshua. Therefore, Tikkun Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Lomar B'Pan D'Mali Shabta, therefore Baal Shem Tov is Metakin, that we should say this specific kapitel, this specific chapter 107 of Tehillim on Erev Shabbos. What's, I mean, there's a lot of deep kavanas if you look in this form of what it means, all the different psukim there. But a pashtus, the simplest explanation of why, v'yitzaku Hashem b'tzar lahem, because at the end of the week, we call out to Hashem to save us. When a person feels Yehudi nasan b'meitzar akash b'yoser v'kvar miyuash schalt d'gula shelo yitzaku Hashem b'tzar lahem. When a Jew feels that he's at the lowest point where there's no hope, he calls out to Hashem and he's saved. He'll save him, he'll redeem him, he'll take him out. These are all the different forms of gula that he can have. And what's the time for that? Pan Mali Shabbos is the Erev Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos. This farm says there's all kinds of opportune moments to do tshuva. They're all at the end of the week, the end of the month, or the beginning of the new one, the beginning of the new week, the beginning of the new month. Erev Shchodesh is Yom Kippur Katan, Erev Shabbos is Tshuva, Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Boi Toshuv. On Shabbos you should do Tshuva. Shabbos is a time of Tshuva, Rosh Chodesh is a time of Tshuva. Therefore, Yom Kippur Katan, the end of the year, of course, is Yom Kippur itself, is the time of Tshuva, Sarasimet Tshuva. Before going to sleep at night, we say Kriya Shema Lamita, it's time to do Cheshen, it's time of Tshuva. Every end and beginning, every time when those two points meet, it's the beginning of, it's an opportune moment to do tshuva. So Erev Shabbos being a time that it's an opportune moment to do tshuva. Shekol yamos ha-shavua b'chinas galus. Our week is our exile. The whole week is an exile compared to Shabbos. Shabbos made olam haba. Shabbos is time of geula. So when Shabbos comes, that taste of geula, that taste of when redemption will come, we call out to Hashem, just like we were through the Golus. We call out, the whole week passed over me, and I went through this and that. I went through this and that at work, and I went through this and that on the way to work, and I went through this and that with my family, and I went through this and that with my friends. And all this stuff that I went through during the whole week, and an island of peace comes, Shabbos comes, Geula Meir Olam Haba comes. It's a time to call out to Hashem and say, listen, I was at the brink of despair, at the point of no hope, at the darkest moment. Now my week is over, the darkness is gone, and the light of Shabbos is shining. I've come to Geula, and now I'm going to say this kapitel, this chapter of Tehillim, and express these things. And that's the time to receive the moment to open up the Shari Geula, Vayitzaku Hashem Batzalahem, Shezoihi Ischalta de Geula. As the Kubriner said, Sheagarua Beyoisik, Sheyehudi Mashim Matzavoi. So this is from the Kubriner, one of the earlier rebbes that formed the Solonimer dynasty before, that the worst thing a Jew can do is make peace with where he's holding. The worst, the absolute worst, is saying, okay, this is where I'm holding. I guess I better make peace. I guess I better accept it. A Jew is forbidden to accept the matzah that he's holding in. The week could have gone this way. It could have gone that way. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. There's next week. There's a new opportunity. There's Shabbos. There's Geula, there's redemption. I'm forbidden for accepting the way things are. And therefore, it says also from one of his other zayis, from the Birkas Avram, Haisali Dimasi, Bo'imer Alai, Kol Yom Ayelokecha. It says in Tehillim, David Melech said, it was like my bread and water, my tears, because I crawled out all the time, where is God? When Shabbos Kodesh comes, and the greatest feeling of pain that a Jew has, Kevo Yagadol Shal Yehudi, Heichan Ayelokim, Etzli Kol Yom Shal, where was God the whole week? I had so many opportunities to be with God, but I wasn't able to because this happened and that happened and that way and that took me away, and I wasn't able to daven proper, and I wasn't able to learn proper, and I wasn't able to do all the and where was Hashem the whole week? I was, and now Shabbos comes, and the opportunity to see Zuma Hashem should help that we take upon ourselves. Now it's time. Shmos is the beginning of Shoivavim. Shuvavim Shmos Ve'era Boy B'Shach Yisra Mishpatim. Those parshios of Shuvu Eilai Banim Shoivavim, return my wayward children. Tikkun Adibur, which is the opportune moment to fix, the opportunity to fix our Dibur, the opportunity to fix the Tikkun Abris. It's the Sfarim say it's a time of tshuva for all of Am Yisrael. Hashem should help. We should seize the moment. We should begin with Shabbos. Hashem should help us. This coming Shabbos will be a beginning of redemption of light, a beginning of tikkun adibur through tefillah and Torah learning.
Amen.
And Hashem will help, and Mr. Hashem, we will not have to sigh, but we will sigh a sigh of contentment as we experience the Gula and Mashiach Mamera Vemena. Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks to you.